Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Our gracious Lord, our loving, eternal Heavenly Father, we come before Thee humbly and reverently in the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, Lord, for the Son of God, the One who came to be the Saviour of sinners. We thank You, Lord, for the perfect life that He lived. We thank You, Lord, for the atoning death that He died. We thank You for that victorious resurrection and for the wonderful promise that He is coming again. We praise Thee, O Lord, for the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Still His power today to cleanse the vilest of sinners and make them acceptable in the sight of a holy God. And we pray that through these programs that, Lord, You will come and You will save precious souls for Thy glory. We do pray for our brother, the Reverend Wilson, today. We pray, Lord, You will give him help. We pray he'll know God leading him today. And even through the ministry of the Word of God, that the kingdom of God will be extended. We do ask You, Lord, to put Your hand upon us here as we meet in Thy presence and around Thy precious word, giving Thee thanks and praise in our Saviour's worthy and precious name. Amen. We're reading from Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, down to the end of verse number 21. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offence, so also is the free gift. For if through the offence of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offences unto justification. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing that lovely gospel hymn, Down at the Cross Where My Saviour Died.
I want to thank the Reverend McKee for leading the meeting thus far. It is a pleasure to be with you today. Romans chapter 5 and the verse 20, the latter part of that verse, we read these words, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. There are two very powerful yet totally opposite forces at work in the hearts of all people. Someone has described them as the two monarchs on the throne of the heart of every individual born into this world. Those two forces at work in the life of all people are sin and grace. Sin is the power of darkness. Sin is the source of all evil and wickedness which is at work and evident in the world. Sin is a tyrant. Sin promises pleasure and peace and contentment. But sin blinds mankind to the awful state that lies before the sinner in the life that is still to be lived after this life. But while sin is a powerful force, yet there is a greater force, a greater power. And it is the power of grace. The only power which melts and removes sin in the heart of a sinner is the grace of God. Grace which is the free, unbounded, unmerited favour of God towards the sinner. Grace conquers sin. Grace overcomes sin. In fact, the whole plan and scheme of God's redemption is based and grounded in God's grace. God's salvation is all of grace. We did nothing to deserve it. We can do nothing to attain it. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we read, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And that is what the Apostle Paul is bringing out here in verse 20. The power of grace over the power of sin. John Bunyan, who authored the classic piece of Christian writing, Pilgrim's Progress, loved this verse 20. Where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. He loved this verse, and on this verse he based one of his classic works entitled Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. John Newton, the one-time slave trader, a slave himself to the power of sin, yet was transformed and his life saved from sin, went on to write the words of that well-known hymn, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. All because of the amazing grace of God. The greatness of God's grace. But how do we see the greatness of God's grace? We see the greatness of God's grace, first of all, in the depravity which necessitated grace. The depravity which necessitated grace. We read in verse number 20 about sin abounding. Speaks about the power of sin, the abundance of sin, the reality of sin. What is sin? Well, in these verses we are given an insight into what sin is. What was it that necessitated the grace of God toward man? In verses 17 and 18 we have the definition of sin. The apostle describes sin as an offense. The word offense there means a fall or a transgression. Sin is a transgression against God. Sin is an offense against God. Sin offends a holy God. You see, such is the purity and the perfection of the holiness of God that sin is described as an offense. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is a falling short of the standard that God demands. God's holy standard is seen in His law. And it's because of our sin that we have broken God's law. We've all fallen short of God's standard. The definition of sin leads us then in verse 18 to the damnation of sin. We read that judgment came upon all men to condemnation. All mankind are under the judgment of God, the wrath of God because of our sin. We read in John 3, the verse 18, He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, here John brings out the same truth that Paul is speaking of, the judgment of God for our sin. God is a holy God, a just God, always punishes sin. Because sin is an offense to Him. The definition of sin, the damnation of sin, but we also see the destruction of sin because the Bible tells us that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. This is eternal death, final death. Oh, there's a death that we will all experience. Death which involves the separation of the soul from the body, which is the first death. Verse 12 in Romans chapter 5, we read that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death is the consequence of sin. But then there is an eternal death, a final death, which is the separation of the soul from God and hell for all eternity. And that is the death that awaits all those who have not repented of their sin. Those who have rejected the gospel of Christ and turned their back on Christ as their only Savior. That's the destruction, you see, that sin brings. But there is a way that sin can be forgiven. That this damnation and condemnation can be dealt with because grace made a way. Grace found a way. When a gracious God sent his Son to the cross of Calvary to be made a curse for sin, to be made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. Even though there is an awful depravity of sin which necessitated grace, yet there's a greater power which overcomes sin. The grace of God in Christ which made a way that sin can be forgiven. We see the greatness of the grace of God and the depravity which necessitated grace. But we also see that greatness in the distinction which characterizes grace. Verse number 20 brings out for us a very clear distinguishing aspect to grace. The Holy Spirit here marks grace out as being distinct and totally different to sin. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace, you see, exceeds sin. Grace is greater than sin. The American teacher and pastor Donald Barnhouse put it well when he said, when sin reached its high water mark, grace flooded the world. Let me suggest to you some ways in which grace exceeds, grace transcends, grace surpasses and abounds greater than sin. It does so in its depth. You see, sin plunged humanity into despair. Sin destroyed the communion that man had with God. Sin destroyed the perfection and the pristine state of man as he was created in the garden. Man created with a holiness totally inclined to God, created perfect, but sin destroyed that perfection. Sin destroyed the paradise of Eden. The fellowship, the communion, the harmony that all existed before the fall was then destroyed by sin. And sin plunged humanity into the depths, but thank God, God's grace went deeper. Because grace went to the pit of sin and lifted man out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Grace reached so low to pick up so little. The problem of sin is great, but praise God, grace went deeper, went further. Notice the language of Paul in verse 20 when he speaks about sin abounding. It means to increase more and more in quantity. It speaks about the increasing darkness and depravity and the depths of sin. But then he contrasts that with grace. What does he say? Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And the word abound there in relation to grace is a different word in relation when it's used to sin. Because in verse 20, when it's used in relation to grace, it means not to increase, but rather to superabound, to excel, to exceed something. It means grace went over and beyond. The grace of God superabounds, super exceeds in a super excess and a superabundance of grace. The provision of grace is wider than the problem of sin. We see it not only in its depth, but also in its distance. Grace reached to the highest heaven. Grace reached to the throne of God. Grace reached to a place that sin can never reach to. Grace reached to the greatest distance because grace reached to heaven and took the Son of God from the majesty and the splendor of his heavenly home, and grace brought the Savior into this world. You see, grace meant that the Son of God would be humble. Grace meant that the Son of God would come, take our humanity into union with his perfect deity. Grace meant that he must suffer. Grace meant that Christ must die. Grace reached so high, brought Christ so low. Paul, writing to the believers in Philippi, tells us of how high grace reached and how low grace brought Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through to 8, he says, speaking of Christ, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, grace went greater than the distance of sin, because grace reached to heaven to bring my Lord down and to bring him to a cross. Grace took my Lord and made him sin for me. Grace took Christ and counted him amongst the transgressors. Grace cut Christ off out of the land of the living. Grace bruised, grace wounded, grace chastised Christ. Because of grace, Christ's blood on the cross was shed. Because of grace, Christ died. Sin went deep, but grace went deeper. Sin went high, but grace went higher. Where do we see the greatness of God's grace? We see it at the place called Calvary, where the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. That's how much more grace abounds greater than sin. And for those who receive Christ as Savior, and by saving faith in Christ alone, saved by grace alone, grace will then bring the redeemed soul home to glory, because grace exceeds sin. Grace conquers sin. Grace is greater than the greatest sin. We see the greatness of the grace of God and the depravity which necessitates it, the distinction which characterizes it. But finally, we see the greatness of the grace of God and the deliverance which comes from it. Grace is greater than sin. It exceeds sin. But thank God, grace delivers from sin. It expels sin. In Romans chapter 5 and the verse 21, we read that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, nothing can stand in the way of grace. Nothing can resist the power of grace. By grace, sin is defeated, and the repentant, believing sinner is delivered from sin, set free from sin. Grace turns eternal death into eternal life by saving faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin and grace can share the same throne. Your heart is either the palace of Satan or the throne of God. Because when grace enters the life, it expels sin as the monarch on the throne. Sin loses its dominion, and sinners are made anew in Christ. Grace makes the sinner a new person, gives him a new master, provides a new monarch. Grace transforms, grace remakes, and grace redeems. This is the deliverance that grace brings. This is the deliverance that you can experience for yourself. Grace can redeem you. Grace can remake you. Grace can transform your life. Thomas Chalmers was a leading Scottish academic and economist. He entered the ministry and was ordained to the church in Scotland. However, in the early stages of his pulpit ministry, Chalmers was not saved. He was a moralist, he was an academic, he was an economist, but he was not saved by God's grace. And through some family bereavements and illnesses, he had to leave the ministry for a time. And during that time, the grace of God took a hold of his life, and he realized there was something missing. During that time, grace awoke him to his great need of Christ, and grace saved him and revolutionized his ministry. No more mere academic sermons, but now the evangelistic messages of the cross. And speaking of grace, he said this: it's the expulsive power of a new affection. Grace conquered sin in his life. Grace claimed his life. Grace changed his life. Grace was victorious in his life. He was a new creature in Christ. That's the change that the grace of God brings. That grace which flows from Mount Calvary can reach into your heart and make you a new creature in Christ. May I ask you today, have you experienced that grace? Have you experienced the grace of God in salvation today? Or are you still under the power and dominion of sin? If not, then why not come and experience this grace for yourself by saving faith alone in the finished work of Christ on the cross? And if you are saved by grace, and never cease to thank God for the greatness of his grace that reached you, that redeemed you, the greatness of his grace that will bring you to glory. The greatness of God's grace, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Let's bow in prayer. Our eternal God and our Father, we thank thee for the abounding grace of God. We thank the Lord for the amazing grace of God. And eternal God and our Father, we pray that there be any who has not experienced that grace for themselves, may they experience the grace of God that can deliver from sin. O God, we thank thee for the grace that changes and transforms lives. Do that, O God, we pray, for thine honour and for thy glory. Speak on, we pray. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.